Hey.
This is the sound of Swope Park live on this Friday morning. It's pretty quiet now, but in about 8 hours and all weekend long, the place will be alive with the sound of music and the sight of dancing from the Czech Republic and Slovakia, from Vietnam and Egypt and Thailand. And that's just in the first hour. And, of course, it will also be alive with what draws many of us to the Ethnic Enrichment Festival this weekend each year, a world's worth of food. I'm Brian Ellison. Welcome to KCUR Central Standard, where on this Friday, it's our food show, and we're talking about a food found in one form or another in just about every culture in the world, something savory or sweet and wrapped in dough. No better place to start today than in Swope Park, then, where it may be early by KCUR producer Matthew Long Middleton's standards, but he's already on the scene. Good morning, Matthew.
Good morning, Brian. How are you?
We're doing well here in the studio. What's happening out there at the park this morning?
Well, you might have been able to hear there, and in the background right now, the sound of a propane-fired deep fryer, and because I'm at the Nepalese booth here at the Ethnic Enrichment Festival, there are tons of booths already set up in, like, their bare bones, but there are a few folks have already started to prep here, but for the most part, many of them are empty, but I imagine it's going to be bustling in just a few hours. And in the Nepalese booth, I see a giant rice maker, big propane-fired woks, and also the tinfoil serving platters throughout the interior space and blenders. It's kind of exciting. Like I see over literally 100 pounds of rice on the ground.
Wow.
Like in bags.
Right. Not actually on the ground. I'm glad to hear that.
Yes, exactly.
You know, the festival doesn't start till 6 o'clock this evening, but then it's I think it's noon to late at night tomorrow, and then some on Sunday afternoon as well. I know you said you're at the Nepalese booth. You're there with the main cook, right?
Yes, I'm here with Niranjan. Hey, you want to say hi?
Hi.
Hello, that's Niranjan Saresta. Niranjan. Nice to meet you, Niranjan.
Yes.
What are you working on there in the booth?
Right now, I'm working on like making chicken dumplings.
And how does that work? Tell us about what it is that goes into making a chicken dumpling.
Okay, chicken dumplings, we actually use the white flour. It's kind of like tortilla, like a small shape of that one to wrap that one in. And then for the stuffing, we use like chicken, like a ground chicken with the scallions, cilantros, onions. And we use Nepali spice, like you can say coriander, garam masala. I mean, it just give you a flavor, savory flavor on it. So after you wrap that one in, and it's going to be like a golf size ball shape. I mean, like you can make like kind of like pot stickers, or you can make a round one too. And then you just like dip that one in and deep fry it. And we use like one of the sauce, actually like homemade sauce on the side, like tomato based sauce. It's kind of like a sauce, and we just like dip that one in and just eat it. It's really good. It's one of our, like, one of the most popular food in Nepal.
Go ahead, Matthew.
I was just going to ask Niranjan, I see you have a lot of stuff here today. How many pounds of, like, chicken and spices do you think you're going to go through today?
Only for today, not probably much, because it's going to rain, probably like 20 pounds or 30 pounds, something like that. Tomorrow, yeah, definitely. Like, I heard it's going to rain, so I'm really excited today, so.
Brian, sorry, I didn't mean to cut you
off
there.
No, not at all. How spicy is this dumpling, Niranjan?
It's not spicy, actually. It just gives you, like, the spices we use, it just gives you the flavor, the savory flavor.
I imagine so, in Nepal, that's a spicier dish than the one you serve at the festival.
I don't want, like, in Nepal, like, they eat, like, spicy food, so I don't want like make really spicy. I want everybody to try my food, so I'm not gonna make anything like really spicy.
I think that's probably a safe bet. I'm curious about you, Niranjan. How old were you when you and your family came to the United States?
I came here when I was 20 years old. I'm 32 right now.
And what brought you here?
So, my parents, actually, we got a lottery, like a green card, diversity visa. So my parents actually won the diversity visa. So that, I mean, they won it, and then later on we all came over here, me, my whole family, actually.
And how long have you been cooking dumplings? Is this something you picked up in adulthood?
Dumplings, actually, even we have like some kind of like family gathering in Nepal, you know, or over here, we used to make dumplings. It's fun things to make, you know, just have like family gathering, you all like chit chat or grab like glass of beer or like, you know, or wine, and so like start making dumplings. So it's a fun thing to make.
How old were you when you learned to make them?
I was probably like 10 or 11. My mom, one day she was making a dumpling, and I asked like what she's doing. She's like, "You want to learn something?" I was like, "Sure." And she showed me how to make dumplings.
What did you know that you like wanted to be a cook then, or did that take you time to come to?
No. Actually, I didn't know. Back then, I wanted to be a cop, so, you know, it was different. So now I'm a chef, so.
Serving justice or serving food?
Serving food is better now.
Where can we find your work as a chef on display, Near Engine?
Which restaurant?
Oh, the restaurant, we don't have like a local restaurant right now. We are working on it. But I do the Ethnic Festival once a year. That's where you guys are going to find me in here, like 3 days at Swift Parkway.
What do you enjoy about the festival, in addition to the cooking?
I mean, Swift Parkway, I've been doing the festival for like almost 7 or 8 years. I mean, I enjoyed it, the people. It's a nice big crowd. People are really nice. I really enjoyed working in here, actually. I mean, I know I'm probably going to be busy all day today, but the crowd, the people come here, they're all happy, you know. I can see their smile in their face, so, yeah, and you can see all the dances and everything in here, too.
That's Niranjan Sresta, the main cook at the Nepalese booth at the Ethnic Enrichment Festival, which starts this evening and runs all weekend long at Swope Park. He's been talking with Central Standard producer Matthew Long Middleton. Thank you both for joining us.
All right, thank you.
Thank you, Brian.
And joining me back here at the studio to talk about the best dough-wrapped food besides Nepalese fried chicken dumplings in Kansas City are our food critics, Mary Block with Around the Block. Hi, Mary.
Good morning, Brian.
Jill Silva of the Kansas City Star is here. Hi, Jill.
Hi there, Brian.
And, of course, Charles Ferruza, who this morning, we can say for the first time, is writing for The Independent.
I am. I'm speechless.
Which is something of a first, I think. We'll take a little sidetrack from our topic here for a second. Charles, that's pretty big news. You've been with The Pitch in one capacity or another for a long time.
16 years, yeah.
Tell us about this opportunity at The Independent.
Well, I've been freelancing for the last 8 months. And, you know, there's an expression, jazz expression, that you have to know when it's time to leave the party.
Mm-hmm.
I've never really been able to follow that one really well.
Yeah.
And it was time for me to go and, you know, try something new. Plus, I actually, this is probably not the perfect place to say this, but I need to write about other things besides food.
All right. So what will you be writing about for The Independent?
Well, food. But I've got, you know, but not as frequently, you know. It's a weekly two, but I don't think I'll be in every issue.
Frees up some time for
you.
Well, I am delighted for you. Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
And we're glad that that time that is freed up still gets to be spent with us.
Thank you very much.
So let's talk today then about food and about other dough-wrapped goodness. We heard from Niranjan about Nepalese fried chicken dumplings. Do you guys have a favorite go-to kind of dumpling or ravioli or the one dough-wrapped food that really stands out to you? Charles, what's your favorite?
Well, I wish I liked ravioli more, except I was raised in a household where the only ravioli we ever had came out of a can. It's hard to believe that my father was Italian and put up with that. But
that's a testimony, I think, to the essential goodness of the ravioli, that even out of a can, people still crave the stuff.
I don't know that maybe we craved it.
Okay.
I think there was a really more of a gesture of my mother being the laziest cook in the world. But I do love, I don't usually order ravioli because I find it to be kind of bland. But I do love the lobster ravioli at Jasper's.
Very rich. And we'll get into the more specific restaurant recommendations here in a little bit. But yes, lobster ravioli puts a particular twist on the
I mean, it's incredibly fattening. I shouldn't be touching it or even looking at it. So, but I'm also a big Asian dumpling fan.
Mm-hmm.
I am too. I love steamed dumplings.
Steamed rather than fried.
I'm not a unless they're French fries. I'm not a big fried food person.
Okay.
So I go for the steamed.
Why is that?
Just lighter.
Yeah.
The steamed dumplings at Bo Ling's have a spice. They're Szechuan. And they sit in a garlic soy chili sauce. You don't have to make the sauce yourself like you do at some places.
Uh-huh.
And it's a great combination.
Why Asian dumplings versus other dumplings?
Mostly because they're steamed, not fried.
Uh-huh. Okay. How about you, Jill? Do you have a favorite kind of dumpling of the world?
Oh, I do love dumplings very much. I'm also an empanada fan.
Ah, yes.
Anything that you can, you know, an envelope of dough that you can put something fun and delicious in, I'm a fan of. But dumplings are wonderful too.
Is dumpling a good inclusive term for all of these? We've been struggling with the language this week.
I think it's a tricky one. And you'll see on my list, I went ahead and put pie hole, which is not technically dough wrapped, but it is a meat pie with a lovely crust of dough over the top. So, you know.
But wouldn't you categorize that as a handheld?
It is handheld, so I kind of think that it is it a pie, which is a little different, or is it a pasty? Is it in the wrapped?
I think a handheld pie qualifies at least. Well, hey, I'm the host. It qualifies for today's show.
Well, and if you talk about wrapped dough, you can go to tamales and pupusas and all sorts
Absolutely.
Of things that you make dough and then
and
just
so
stuff
we
something.
Shall.
Yes.
Although we decided sandwiches is where we're drawing the line. If the bread is a separate thing on its own, it doesn't qualify for the dough-wrapped food show. So,
agreed.
So there's where we're drawing the line. Do you think we're talking about the Ethnic Enrichment Festival here as a place where a lot of these different dumpling / empanada / ravioli emerge. Is there a distinctly American rendition of this genre?
Oh, I think chicken and dumplings. Mm-hmm. Wouldn't you agree?
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
absolutely.
Yeah.
They're not really filled dumplings, but...
Not filled, but they are dumplings, right?
Yeah.
I was going to argue for Hot Pockets, but apparently that's...
Well,
that's odd.
That's the modern version.
I guess it really is. Now, speaking of the festival, Jill, we want to be upfront about your bias on this point.
Okay.
Which I think is a healthy and good bias.
I'm biased. My husband's Brazilian, the Brazilian commissioner, so we run the Brazilian booth, our family does, and our friends. We don't really have any wrapped dough, so I won't belabor that point. Mm. We do have a delicious cheese bread, which is doughy. But moving on, there are just so many different variations. I'm looking down a list of the menu and crab rangoon, egg roll, empanadas, vegetable pakora, vegetable samosa, meat pies, able skivers.
Mm.
So you see in lots and lots of different forms.
Even a Swedish meatball wrap in lefse.
Yes, yes, it goes on and on. So every culture really enjoys something doughy, and I think it's that carby lift that we get from it. Well, and also it's inexpensive and easy to make.
In the broad umbrella term, you know, looking at this list, wouldn't that make a crepe essentially a...
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
I underlined crepe on this, too. I just didn't get there. But, yeah.
Crepes are in order. Yes.
Okay.
It's
or a quesadilla.
Or a quesadilla. Yeah. You know, the more you think about it, at first I thought this show might be hard, and then I just kept coming up with more and more and more examples. So.
Well, why do we think that is? That this particular way of doing food seems to be so popular across so many different cultures. You mentioned I like what you said, Jill, the carby lift that it provides. I guess at a festival context, it makes sense too because you can usually hold it in your hand, right?
Right, handheld is important, portable, inexpensive, also.
and often fried, which, you know, is a big plus for me.
It's a big plus.
Like empanadas. And, you know, I really, crab rangoon, I guess, would fall in this category as well. Yeah,
yeah, exactly. Why did we invent that, you know?
Yeah.
A new place for cream cheese. Yeah.
Well, we have the whole show to talk about these dough-wrap foods, but while we're still talking about the Ethnic Enrichment Festival, are there other places that that you all try to hit up when you go out there? Are there certain booths, certain cultures that if you don't get to try them very often, this is the time when you should do it?
I always look for the mom-and-pop places, the folks that don't have a restaurant representing them, where I can dine, you know, regularly.
So like Nepal, like we just heard.
Nepal, exactly. You want to search those out. Usually you can also tell by the long lines. Get in the longest line and ask people what they're buying, because there are a lot of sort of professional ethnic festival goers out there, and they know year after year exactly what they want from every booth.
And my advice would be to get out of your comfort zone. Just try something that you've never had before, because chances are it's there.
Great advice. And yep. Definitely something we do in Brazil.
How about you, Charles?
You know, I love, when it's not too hot, the Ethnic Enrichment Festival, because I notoriously will only go to the places I've been before. You know, I'm not that adventurous, a horrible admission to make on the air. I do think it's hilarious, though, that the German booth, which I've never been to, in my visits, is serving German chocolate cake, which isn't German, but, you know.
Right. And at the very least, they should just call it chocolate cake, right? It's like French fries.
They're
not serving French fries at the French booth, it looks like. It's all crepes all the time there.
Well, and I will say this, for really adventurous eaters who want to try things that they've never had before, everything is relatively inexpensive, so you're not making a big financial risk.
No, not at all. It's... I mean, generally under $10, and I would say you'd find most stuff hovering around the $5, $6, $7.
And every once in a while, it's only a dollar. When we come back, we'll talk with someone else who's getting ready for the Ethnic Enrichment Festival. Kolaches, anyone? The food critics will unwrap some of the best places for sweet and savory pockets of deliciousness year-round. Where do you go for your empanadas, your ravioli, your samosa? We want to hear about it. Call us at 816-235-2888 or tweet at KCURCST. Come back with us in a minute. It's Friday, and it's a food show on KCUR's Central Standard. I'm Brian Ellison. We're talking about dumplings and donuts and anything else where dough gets wrapped around something else to form a tasty bite. If you have a favorite place in Kansas City to go for your dough-wrapped delicacies, give us a call at 816-235-2888, or you can tweet at KCURCST. Joining us now by phone from her home is Nina Haida. She's on the Ethnic Enrichment Commission representing the nations of Czech and Slovakia. Hello, Nina.
Good morning, Brian.
It's nice to have you with us.
Well, thank you. And I'm happy to be here to talk about kolaches and what our club is doing how we prepare them.
Yeah, well, great. That's what we want to hear about. I know you aren't actually doing the cooking for the booth this year, but you have plenty of times in the past. And unlike some of the other countries in the festival, you just have this one item on your menu. Tell us about the kolachki.
Oh, okay. And yes, I did actually help bake the kolachkis yesterday.
Oh, you did.
Okay. I have a head baker, Hannah, who coordinated the whole event. And I got to give her kudos, because she made several test batches, was not satisfied, and called her mother in Prague to adjust the recipe. And these are the best kolachkis ever. I've already sold, without even being it there, people who were helping out have already sold $58 worth. So,
well, my goodness, how hard are they to make? I'm surprised there's such a difference.
The challenge is getting the dough just right and the right balance of ingredients and the right process. She found out that she needed to allow the sugar to dissolve in warm milk. And you need to use yeast, because it's a sweet yeast dough. And the yeast should be, you know, fresh yeast is the best. So it's the right combination of ingredients, because it's a very rich pastry. It's not supposed to be bland, more bland like a bread would be. It's a sweet bread, but the richness dominates the sweet. And I think the secret to it that makes it stand out from other pastries is the fact that there is grated lemon rind in it. And it's not that you taste the lemon, but it gives it the subtle flavor. And when it's baking, the thing that makes it really, it gives it that subtle, really a wonderful smell that just fills up the room. So that grated lemon peel is that little kick, secret ingredient in it.
It's making me hungry. Now, what do you fill the kolachkis with in the booth?
Oh, I'm so glad you asked this. It must be a fruit filling. Now, there are American kolachki places, and they'll put little hot dogs or something into it. And I was talking to the other ladies about that, and everybody, it was universal. No, that's not a kolachki. That's an appetizer. That's like a pig in the blank if you put a hot dog or a sausage or a meat. A kolachki is a pastry. It's a dessert. My favorite and the favorite of those who grew up with them is poppy seed. But you can also do prunes, apricot, cherry, apple, cream cheese. So those are the fillings that, you know, are very popular and that we use.
Poppy seed is a surprising fruit filling.
Yeah, poppy seed. You can buy canned poppy seed, and you, Hannah, when she makes it, she adds a little bit of sugar and milk to it to get the right consistency. It has a natural sweetness in the net. It's great. If you're around this afternoon at 4:30, you know, drop by our booth, because if you never tried it, you need to try it once. And we're selling them at $1 a pop, so you can't get a better deal than that.
That's sounds like a pretty good price. How many kolachkis does the team sell in a typical festival?
I know last year we baked 800. I don't know how many we're going to end up with this year, but it's literally in the hundreds. Because not only do we sell them $1 a piece, then we sell them $6 or $5. And quite often, someone who originally comes up to the booth and wants one, they end up seeing that and they go, oh, what the heck, you know, and put down a $5. So, you know, we sell a lot of, you know, half dozen. They go out really quickly.
Nina, I know you're the commissioner for Czech and Slovak people in Kansas City. Is there a large community of Czech and Slovak people in the metro?
Yes, there is. There are Sugar Creek. It has a lot of both Czechs and Slovaks. And that's where the Slavic Festival is held every June. And also in Kansas City, Kansas, there's Strawberry Hill, and there's a lot of Slavic people in Kansas City, Kansas. Now, when you say Slavic, you're talking about more than just the Czechs and just the Slovaks. You're also talking about Slovenians, Poles, Hungarians, you know, that whole eastern part of Europe.
Well, I really appreciate on this busy day, Nina, you taking a few minutes to talk with us about kolachkis.
Well, thank you.
I'm sure there will be lots of folks out there to see you.
I hope so. And hopefully, you know, there'll be people from KCUR visiting us.
I hope so, too. That's Nina Haida. She's on the Ethnic Enrichment Commission from Czech and Slovakia. Thanks so much, Nina.
You're welcome. Have a good day.
You too. So we're continuing our conversation about dough-wrapped delicacies. I'm here with the food critics, Mary Block from Around the Block, Jill Silva of the Kansas City Star, and Charles Ferruza, moving today to the Independent.
Right.
You guys fans of the kolachkis, by the way?
I am. I'm surprised they're not having a savory one.
Yeah, because she said it's always fruit.
Okay.
She was very exclusive about that. But I've had savory ones too. So I guess that may be a corruption of the concept somehow. What do you think, Mary?
I'm not a huge fan, but again, that's just my own taste.
Fair enough.
Oh,
Jill,
I'm definitely a fan of kolachkis.
Yeah, yes, all right.
Yeah.
We are here to find out what else you are fans of, though, and it's probably time for us to talk about some of the restaurants in town serving dough-wrapped delicacies. Let's start with you today, Mary. Is there one that comes to mind for you?
Well, I like pupusas, and there are a couple of restaurants in town that do it very well.
Now, what is a pupusa?
A pupusa is it's a dough made with corn flour, and it's kind of like a really thick corn tortilla, and it's stuffed. And the filling can have pork, ground beef, cheese, beans, and then it's usually topped. And it's really nice because most places the topping is at the table and you can add it yourself.
Okay.
Curtito, which is a vinegary slaw that has onions and jalapeno. And it's just a really nice dish. The vinegary slaw kind of cuts the spice that could be in the filling.
Sounds pretty delicious. Where do you like to go for these?
El Salvadorino in Overland Park, and then El Bilgarcito in Miriam.
Okay, very good.
And that place has been around for a long time.
Excellent.
Yeah, they're both wonderful.
Is a pupusa similar to any other from other cultures, other dumplings?
I would say
it's not really a dumpling.
It's not really a dumpling. It's probably closer to an empanada, wouldn't
okay.
you say?
Yeah. Okay.
Or a tamale.
Or a tamale, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Or even an arepa.
Mm-hmm.
That's not stuffed, but that's cornmeal dough. So
right. Arepas were one of those that was sort of on my is it or is it not in today's show, because it's sort of like a sandwich.
I wondered myself.
Yes. Yeah. Well, I mean, you mentioned empanadas. All of you mentioned empanadas in one form or another, I think, on your lists. Charles, where do you go for your empanadas?
I love Empanada Madness, which is on Southwest Boulevard. And especially, they have this empanada with potato and I'm trying to remember if they're all three together, but the queso fresco with eggs and a beef.
Yes.
Delicious.
I actually just had that last week there.
Really?
It was fantastic.
And you know, even though empanadas are fried, they never seem greasy to me. Well, they have at certain restaurants, but perfectly done, they're not very greasy.
Empanada Madness has the added benefit of being one of the restaurants in town most likely to spot a Kansas City Royal at.
Really?
It's known to be a favorite of Salvador Perez, so don't skip that aspect of Empanada Madness. Jill, where do you go for your empanadas?
I love a food truck called El Tenedor, and Carmen Cabilla, the chef, is actually from Spain, and she makes these very delicious empanadas. They're just fried just perfectly, and she garnishes them so beautifully. She puts a paprika-tinged aioli and a mayo aioli over the top, serves it with a little salad on the side, and you think you're actually in a very fine restaurant looking at it. And she has all kinds of fillings from seafood. One of my favorites is chorizo and manchego.
And you said it's this beautiful presentation.
It's just gorgeous.
Even though it's from a food truck.
It is. It's, you know, it's a crescent of dough, a little half moon, and it's drizzled with a squirt bottle. So, you know, it's got this squiggle across the top and then that green to catch your eye. Very nice compliment also to the richness of the empanada to have a little bit of that garnish on the side. It's just gorgeous. I've never taken a bad photograph with my phone, you know, of her food, which is amazing.
Well, 816-235-2888 is the number to call to share your ideas or ask your questions about dough-wrapped pastries. And Jan is on the line with us from Overland Park. Good morning, Jan.
Good morning. If you have time before my question for a quick comment.
Please.
You were talking about the different sorts of noodles and doughs and things and the stuffings, whether they're sweet or savory. My theory is that every culture has some way to use their leftovers. And using the grains that are indigenous to that area to make whatever sort of dough or wrap. But, you know, you think ravioli, you think all kinds of things. That's one way to use last night's leftover meat and spread it out a little bit. But that's just my theory.
I think that's a really interesting theory, Jen. I'm glad you've propounded that.
Well, my question is there any place in the metro area that makes pierogi like my Slavic grandmother did, or like my German grandmother did?
Well, we will ask our food critics to try to put themselves in the position of your Slavic or German grandmother and see if they can think of a place where there's pierogies. I'm seeing everyone's looking at Jill Silva.
There was pierogi guys, and I'm not really sure what happened, if they're still out there or not. Grocery stores actually have a fair number of very nice frozen pierogies in their freezer case. Most are probably not local, but you might take a look on the back of those packages and see if someone locally is making them.
So that's probably not the answer you were looking for, is it, Jan?
No, actually, I've got a couple of those, and they ain't like Grandma.
Fair enough. Well, Jan, we'll keep looking with you. Thanks so much.
Okay, thank you.
Bye-bye. So in addition to the empanadas we talked about earlier, you've offered an alternative empanada as well.
Yes, I was having lunch with Artie Davis, a barbecue legend in town, and we were at RJ's BBQ on Lamar, off of Johnson Drive.
BBQ, yes.
BBQ, yeah. I'm not being silly there.
Yeah.
We ordered the empanadas that had ground buffalo in them, and really tasty. Also, a very pretty plate presentation. Doesn't have a lot to do with barbecue per se, but it is a nice little appetizer to start out your meal.
What's so good about it?
A nice flaky dough. They really have that lovely dough going, and then you know it just is served on a platter with you can see the imprint of a fork and a knife on there, and so they've done a lot of sprinkling of paprika. And as you pick up that dough, you kind of get a little bit of that paprika on it, and then it goes really well with the buffalo inside, which is a nice lean meat, which is good when you're frying something to have a leaner meat inside. So very delicious.
A different take on the dish. That's great. Mary Block, what else is on your list of dough wrapped foods?
You know, one really interesting dumpling is the riff that they do at Graham and Dunn, and they're called French onion dumplings. And if you picture what's in French onion soup, typically, their dumpling is filled with the onion broth, and then there's some cheese on top and a little crouton that they've stuck in a toothpick. And when you open the dumpling, the onion soup spills out. Very clever and pretty tasty, too.
I was going to say it's French onion soup deconstructed, but it's really constructed, I
Reconstructed.
Guess. Reconstructed. Yes. and pretty good flavor as onion soups
flavor.
Go.
Great flavor,
yeah. Well, that's great. Are there other dumplings on your lists?
Well, I wanted to put out a shout-out to Poe's Dumpling Bar on 39th Street, because they do some great dumplings. I prefer steamed dumplings as well. Mm-hmm. I mean, I eat enough fried food. But what they also have that I thought are meets our category and very delicious are the cha su steamed buns with the roast pork. And the new restaurant on the plaza where I had lunch yesterday with a bunch of your KCOR fans.
Yes. Brian. Thank you for offering that to them, Charles.
Yeah, it was fun. Well, they do at Oliver something I just love. I don't know why, but it's a nostalgia piece for me. They do steamed buns, but they use wheat flour in the steamed buns. And they're filled with sloppy joes, straight from the 60s. And it's a good sloppy joe, you know, not like, it doesn't taste like the canned version that my mother would have opened.
Yeah.
But really good old-fashioned sloppy joes. And the steam buns are so light that you don't feel, you know, completely bloated and heavy afterwards. You don't get that many of them either, but
around the corner at their sister restaurant, Graham and Dunn, they do a steam bun also. And they use a peanut coconut barbecue sauce and spicy pickled cucumber with pork belly that they put in it. But those buns are really popular now. Momofuku in New York kind of started that craze, and now everybody's riffing on them. Michael Smith always has one on his menu, and he makes the dough himself. It's a really soft, pillowy dough. And typically you have hoisin and cucumber and pork. Sometimes he adds ramp kimchi or something else, but it's always a hit on his menu, I think.
Is there something about the you've mentioned the flaky or pillowy dough that seems to be a essential ingredient of a lot of these? Is there anything about the seasonings that is different in a pocket food than it would be if it were just meat on a plate?
Well, I would say with the steamed dumb, there's absolutely no flavor. It's just, you know, the yeast and flour, a little baking powder. So all the flavor is in the filling.
And when you're seasoning the fillings for these sorts of dishes, is it a stronger flavor than if it were just a plate full of food, not wrapped in dough?
I'm going to say no, because this is the kind of food that everybody likes to eat, so you don't have to really worry about heat levels and kids not liking the spices, that kind of thing. I think it spans across the generations, so it's kind of straightforward and not overly spiced.
Let's take a call from April at 816-235-2888. April, welcome to Central Standard.
Thank you.
What's your question about dough-wrapped foods of Kansas City?
I'm a recently returned Peace Corps volunteer from Nepal, and I was wondering if there was anyone in the Kansas City area that served momos.
Momos, which is a dumpling.
Yes.
Well, it sounds like at the Ethnic Enrichment Festival this weekend, we talked earlier in the show with Niranjan Saresta, who is out there cooking them right now, but he didn't have a restaurant. He said they were working on that. I'm looking at the critics. Is there anywhere else that serves Nepalese food in Kansas City? Nope.
I don't think so.
No.
Not that they know of. So, April, for the next 36 hours or so, you should check out Swope Park as the possible solution.
Excellent. Thank you so much.
And take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
816-235-2888 is the number to call. We had a tweet from Carl at KCURCST. That's where you can reach us. He says, my wife and I love the butternut squash ravioli at Lydia's in the fall. It's always one of my favorite dishes there at that time of year as well. Are there other raviolis that stand out to you guys around town? I've stumped the panelists. No raviolis.
You know,
well, that's all right.
At the Rieger, Howard always does a really good ravioli, often filled with beef cheek or rabbit or something
mm-hmm.
like that.
Mm-hmm. So something gamey.
Yeah.
Very good. Well, another thing that I noticed several of you talked about was tamales as another important, something you can find at a lot of different restaurants, but finding those that really stand out might be challenging. Jill, where do you go for your tamales?
Well, I have found a new place to go for tamales, and that's the Tamale Kitchen. So it's a really interesting collaborative co-op between women's in the Northeast neighborhood of Mexican and Spanish descent. They've put together their tamales, and they sell them, so you can get a hold of them at thetamalekitchen.org and order them. I just think their masa is some of the freshest I've seen, and the fillings, which I think sometimes can be very bland in a tamale. Very nice shredded beef with nice seasonings, not overpowering, but very delicious. And I really love the idea that they're trying to, you know, work themselves out of poverty, create their own jobs, and do it with food. It's a wonderful way to do it.
Called the Tamale Kitchen again.
Where's the Tamale Kitchen?
It's not an actual space. They rent out some kitchen space, but they are
it's a
group.
Wholesale, or
yeah, that gets together, and it's like charitable. They'll do it for charitable functions. They'll also do some pop-ups. They did one at the Olive Tree a couple months ago. So
I'd love for you to do a story, Jill, because I'm not that well-versed in tamale land, but is there a proper ratio between masa and filling? Because sometimes I will get a tamale and it just seems like it's all masa.
Right, it's all dough.
There is a ratio. I can't really tell you if it's 70-30 or whatever. Well, but
the other key to it is the ratio of masa and lard, because sometimes they're so dense, you know, they're like a rock.
And that's too lardy.
Yeah, and you really want it to be lighter,
lardy,
fresher.
Lardy.
Yeah.
But Brian, I want to throw. I love tamales, and one of the best places to get them, and you can get them, you know, 12 a bag of 12, I think, for a low price. The San Antonio Market at State Avenue.
I think you're right.
Mm-hmm. Delicious.
You have a tamale place too, right, Mary?
I have a couple. Port Fonda does a really nice job with tamales, and they change it up seasonally what their sauces are and what they put inside. Jill was talking about collaborations, and I love the one that happens at Christmas. I know we're in August, but Port Fonda and Local Pig, the butcher shop, collaborate. They make pork tamales, and then they you can order them ahead of time, and the proceeds go to harvesters.
Sounds great. Anywhere else for tamales?
El Patron also on Southwest Boulevard makes really good tamales.
Well, we will continue this conversation. Remember, you can find all our critics' recommendations and our callers' recommendations, too, at our website. We'll have those up at kcur.org/centralstandard later today. We'll fill up the rest of this hour with more of their suggestions, and yours, too, at 235-2888. Stay with us. I'm Brian Ellison, KCUR Central Standard. We'll be right back.
Thirteen years ago, I go all out opening a restaurant, naming it Island Spice Caribbean, where the tastes come natural.
Beverly Dorsey moved here from Kingston, Jamaica in 1976. She moved here for personal reasons.
Running behind my lover.
She ended up pursuing another love, Caribbean cuisine. Dorsey offers the traditional food she grew up eating, oxtail and jerk chicken, and each day there's a new lunch special. But there's one thing she always has on hand at the restaurant, there in its fairly inconspicuous storefront on 39th Street. They're on display at the counter, Jamaican patties. They look kind of like empanadas, but they're filled with beef or vegetables, and a generous amount of cumin, onion, and other Jamaican spices. They're savory and delicious and convenient.
It's something that you can just grab, and in your car you can be eating while, you know, while you're driving. And this, it's good. It's nourishing, you know, and it's not an old meal. You can eat a patty and you're all right with a cup of coffee or whatever you want to eat.
The wonders of dough. That's our subject today on KCUR Central Standard. I'm Brian Ellison here with the food critics, Jill Silva and Charles Ferruza and Mary Block. And that was Beverly Dorsey from Island Spice Caribbean, reminding us that dumplings are a good thing, partly because they're convenient, but at the same time, delicious. So we're talking about those convenient foods today. And one of the ones we haven't talked about yet is something called a burox. Jill, what is that?
Burox are something that's very indigenous to Kansas and the Oklahoma area, I think it spills into. These are people who immigrated here from the Volga region, and they brought a lot of their food ways here. They often became farmers, and then they typically made burox, which has many, many different spellings, but is almost always a very thick, yeasty dough that has usually ground beef or some ground meat in the middle. And I would say the ratio here is way more pastry or dough than meat
it's
in
more,
general.
It's more about the pastry.
It is.
And where do you go for these?
Well, there's a little restaurant out in Paola, Kansas called Beethoven's Number 9. It's a German-themed restaurant, and they do happen to have burox on the menu. They spell it with an X, R-O-X.
Very good. Charles?
Yeah. I just wanted to say, closer to home, they serve burox at You Say Tomato.
Do really?
Yeah, yes.
Okay.
Often.
Right. Wonderful.
And that, I think, is at 27th and Holmes?
Holmes, 26er.
Right, in Midtown. We've been getting some help from questions we asked earlier in the show that we didn't know the answers to. We got a call from Joe, who his suggestion for pierogies, although actually it's the same answer that Jill gave in terms of frozen pierogies that are available. He suggests European Delights, which is a grocery store at 95th and Antioch. And also on the question of Nepalese food, nothing in Kansas City, but Gabby in Lawrence says you can get momo at Zen Zero, which is owned by Nepalese people in, I guess that's in Lawrence. Mm-hmm. So you can check those out if that's what you're looking for. You know, we've talked a lot about savory dishes, but what about the sweets? Sweet dishes are an important part of dough-wrapped food. Do you have some favorites, Charles?
I did.
Your list actually has all savory. I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. But I think it was Jill that brought up the Pop-Tarts. Which is a new, I mean, it's not new, but it's a thing now at bakeries.
Right, like at Heirloom Bakery.
Heirloom Bakery has a very nice one that they're kind of known for.
If we were not calling that a Pop-Tart, what would we call it?
A hand pie.
Yeah, a hand pie, exactly.
And it is not your mother's Pop-Tart.
You do not put it in the toaster and wait for
it. It's really, really good.
Yeah, as an alternative to maybe the donut or the croissant to start your morning. What else do you like in the sweeter end of the doughy spectrum?
Heirloom was the only one on my list.
Well, what about the ricotta donuts at Port Fonda?
I really love those. And I think that's just kind of a spin-off of the traditional sopapilla that you find at so many Mexican restaurants. I think they do a great job with that. I mean, I had them once and I thought, well, I'll never have to have those again. But of course, I ordered them the next time and I'm like, wow, I missed these. I'm glad I ordered these again. So they do a really nice job with those.
And, well, the tres leches sauce that you dip them into is pretty good.
That helps. Yes,
yeah,
that
I was going to ask because I think of sopapillas and I think of honey, but right. This is something a little different.
Exactly. Yes. It's a dipping sauce. It seems tres leches and
caramel.
And I think sometimes don't they have
a strawberry or raspberry,
some kind of a berry sauce as well that you can dip into. So,
is there anywhere else that that you tend to go for the sweeter dough wrap food?
I'll throw this up to all of you. Would an apple fritter fall into this category?
I think so.
Yeah,
Why not?
Would. I mean, it's not. Yeah, yeah. It's kind
I love apple fritters. I like them especially when there's lots and lots of apple in it.
Yeah.
And so, is there anywhere that comes to mind? Because I have to say, what place that I used to love every year for apple fritters was up at, in Weston, at the where you'd go for cider and the Red Barn Farm. I'm not even sure I have the name right, but it's
where Stevenson's was.
Yeah, it's out in Weston. But it's closed now, I think. But you could get hot cider and they had these amazing apple fritters. But I think that's closed.
The Lewisburg Cider Mill should be cranking
up
here.
Oh, they make wonderful,
yeah.
Wonderful apple fritters. Yes,
I don't think it's year round necessarily.
No, isn't it?
But I think
just in October.
I think October, November, somewhere in there.
816-235-2888 is the number to call. Susan is calling us from Lawrence. Susan, hello.
Oh, hi.
What do you recommend?
I like the hand pies. Well, they actually call them miner's pies at the Community Mercantile.
In Lawrence?
They're in their deli section and also in their to-go section. And they make them in two versions. One's a sausage mushroom, I believe, and the other one's a sweet potato curry. And they're both excellent. They're small. They're similar to a Cornish pasty, but about half that size, I believe.
Hmm. Okay.
And they're just very cheap. Like they're either $3 or maybe $4, but they're cheap. They're small. They're nutritious, and they're very good.
The Miner's Pies. Well, thanks for calling in, Susan.
Okay, you're welcome.
We had a tweet from Karen who says that Chai Shai has the best samosas and pakora in town. She says that one of her Pakistani friends has said that it's the best in the country. So
I've heard that.
And they like to say that too. And I remember the first time I went in and they wanted me to try one. I said, yeah, I'm not a samosa fan. They talked me into it, and I have to agree with them. It was awesome.
Well, that business started because they were making wholesale samosas, and then they decided to do their own thing.
Really well done.
Duval called in actually with a samosa recommendation as well. He said from Culture Curry, and I don't know where that is, but
I think that's out south.
Yeah,
I believe.
Very good. Let's take one more quick phone call from Pete in Raytown. Hello, Pete.
Well, hello. How are you?
Good. What's your recommendation?
Russian culture has what they call pelmenis.
Hmm.
And it's a simple flour dough, and then filled with kind of whatever you had. We make our own, so I really don't know if there's any place in town that still kind of is stuck on the Russian cuisine. But
and so it can really be any meat inside.
I was kind of introduced over in Russia, and they kind of the story was that it had come down from Siberia, was its origination, and they would just make tons. So whatever was on hand, they just loaded them up, and then
Anywhere you can get it in Kansas City, Pete, other than your house?
A long time ago, I had it at a place called Moscow Nights. I don't think it's still good.
No, it's gone.
All right. Well, we'll have to just think about it from that description, Pete. Thank you so much for calling.
Hey, no problem.
And thanks to our food critics today, Charles Ferruza from The Independent.
Thank you very much.
Mary Block from Around the Block.
Great to be here, as always.
And Jill Silva of The Star. Thank you, guys.
Thank you for having me.
And for a list of all of the restaurants they mentioned today, you can visit kcur.org/centralstandard this afternoon. You can find all our past shows there, too. You can follow us on Twitter. Great way to keep in touch with the show. We're at KCURCST. Check out all the things that people have tweeted at us today. Some great suggestions, too. I'm at PTS Brian. Mondays at 10 a.m., KCUR continues bringing you Invisibilia. Tune in for that, and then join us on Tuesday when, now that kids are heading back to school, we will explore an innovative way to get kids excited about math. KCUR Central Standard is produced by Matthew Long Middleton and Sylvia Maria Gross, and Fridays by Jen Chen. Our team also includes Suzanne Hogan and Andrea Tudhope. Linda Scher is our announcer, and we had help this week from Chris Pruitt and Steven Steigman. Our theme music is by Spoonbender Labs. Gina Kaufman's on leave. I'm Brian Ellison. Have a great weekend, everyone.